All right, book of Ephesians this afternoon, Ephesians chapter 4. Wasn't too bad of singing considering everybody's floating in soup and chili. I feel a little short of breath as well. Hey, good to see everybody back this afternoon. Some of you look kind of strange sitting out there, casual clothes. You look like every other church in town. I probably shouldn't say that out loud. I should have probably thought that inside, my inside voice. It's good to see everybody out. Hey, I come up with a plan over lunch about how to pay for the pews. I've decided we're going to have premium and economy seating, and like on the airplane. They're going to get increasingly more expensive as you get nearer the back. And they're also going to get narrower as you get near the back. So the wider, cheaper seats will be up front. As you go back, they'll get more expensive and closer together. We'll probably have an exit row or something, too. Try to save some money. Ephesians chapter 4. Probably shouldn't have said that, considering what I'm about to talk about. Ephesians 4. Since we're doing things a little bit different today, we've been doing our worldview on Sunday nights. It's going to take a little bit of time out of that just because it's a little bit different Sunday. Although, this really is kind of worldview as well, as I think about it. But Ephesians 4, 31. Ephesians 4, verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That verse is an important verse. I'm not going to talk about forgiveness, but I always like to point out when we're in verse 32 that we don't forgive one another based on the offense.
Right.
We forgive one another based on what we have been forgiven.
That's right.
Of. But we're going to talk a little bit something different this afternoon. We're going to talk about the fruit of kindness, the fruit of kindness. Father, we pray that you'll bless our time in your word. Help us to just stay in room. I know this is usually a time when many are taking naps and kids are laying down. So I pray that you just give us physical strength for the next few moments. And Lord, we're thankful for the food that we ate and for all the folks that prepared that and for bringing that. And we got some work ahead of us this afternoon, but I pray that you just help us forget about that for just a minute and just to focus on your word. We're thankful we have it. Pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing as always. It's no secret to you, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, that we live in a mean-spirited, brutal world. And it seems like it's becoming more so every day, every time we look at the news. It's got a point right now, it seems like there's just no end to the physical brutality. I mean, it's just dangerous. The physical brutality, the physical danger that's out there, and it's not just in the large cities now, it's working its way into smaller areas like ours as well. Probably more goes on than most of us even know about, but it is a brutal, dangerous world. And while it's not as dangerous in the sense of losing your life, one thing that's unbelievable to me, again, and I don't just say that to make a point. It is really kind of unbelievable to me just how mean people are today to one another. Just absolutely mean-spirited to one another. And again, it's not just places off some far-off place. It's even around. Of course, you know, we can talk about how mean politics is, and that's mean today, how mean the corporate media is today, all these different things we can talk about. We all understand this afternoon there's no place where meanness is on greater display than social media. You know, when you're dealing with faceless people, it's unreal how mean it is. And if you don't think it's around here, get on the Warrensburg Facebook page. I tell you, if you've been on there, that was almost discouraging to me when I got on there. And I'm not really on Facebook. I have a Facebook account, but I don't take friends and I don't befriend anybody or defriend, unfriend, whatever the word is. I don't do that. I just on there so I can keep track of what's going on in Warrensburg and Knobnoster. And I tell you, when I go on that Warrensburg Facebook page, you say something that somebody thinks is dumb, or you say something that somebody thinks you shouldn't ask about, and they're like a pack of hyenas on a wounded animal. It's unreal. And I was just shocked at how mean people are around here. You think, well, this is not, people are here aren't mean. Well, they must all be on Facebook because it is a mean-spirited bunch. And we're in a mean time. And I think one of the saddest things is, if you watch the news or listen to the news any, it's on a regular basis now that we hear of young people who are taking their own life, not because they were physically assaulted by somebody, but because they have been the target of just unrelenting meanness. And they end up taking their own life as a result. I mean, of all the things to have to kill yourself over, because you are the target of just unrelenting meanness, sometimes gang meanness, as people gang up on them. And it's just ridiculous, isn't it? This should not be. What a senseless thing there is. And I hope I don't need to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And it is, I certainly hope that we would never have a young person here at Calvary who would regularly, purposely be mean to another young person. Amen? Shouldn't be. Among God's people, it shouldn't be. And it certainly shouldn't be at church. I understand people being mean to people at public school. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. If there's any place that young people ought to come and not have another young person be mean to them, it ought to be here. And so I would hope that would never happen. I sure hope we don't have young people here. And again, I hope I don't have to say this, but I would certainly hope we'd never have young people here who one or two would gang up on another one and be mean to them or say mean things to them. Because that's just as much bullying as if you took out a club and beat them. I mean, it's just as much being a bully as physical abuse. Sometimes it's almost worse. Physical wounds tend to heal far more than wounded heart. Isn't that true? The Bible talks about a wounded heart who can heal. And it certainly is something we should hope would never, because words have a powerful impact. We know that. And they especially hurt when you're younger and you're changing in so many ways. And one thing as a young person wants more than anything else is to be accepted. You know, and to have somebody being absolutely mean-spirited to them is just brutal. Absolutely brutal. And let me say this since we're passing by and I'm saying things that I don't need to say. And that is that Mom and Dad, I would sure make sure that I didn't give them the impression that it was okay. And we can do that by our words. We can give them the impression that it's all right. You know, been doing this a long time and in my ministry, I've seen far more than one young person who thought that it was okay to be mean to another young person because they heard Mom and Dad saying mean things about their parents. And when kids overhear that, they think that gives them license then to be mean to their kids. And boy, we ought to always be careful about that, don't you think? We ought never be people who are mean to one another. And so we should be careful. Again, I hope I don't have to say that, but I said it's my job to say things I hope I don't have to say, so I hope I don't have to say it again. We need a revival of kindness. Amen. In our culture, we certainly do. We need a revival of kindness in our culture, and it certainly needs to be practiced first among God's people. I mean, we ought to be the example of kindness to other people. We need a revival. Kindness is a virtue. Absolutely it is. And it really stands out in a mean, you don't have to be very kind today to be kind, to stand out. Have you not? It's gotten so bad. Sometimes when I'll go somewhere and I meet somebody while I'm waiting in line or something, and we strike up a conversation, seem like a really nice guy, I'm shocked. I'm surprised. I get in my car and think, man, that guy was really kind. That was a really nice guy. And it stands out as a virtue when you're kind to people. It certainly does stand out. It's an attractive quality, don't you think? Who wants to be a friend with a mean person or a mean-spirited person? I guess only other mean people. But you think nobody would want to. But most of all, kindness is something that should be in every one of us as a child of God because it is a reflection of the Spirit that dwells within us. This is kind of worldview and Holy Ghost on Wednesday nights. But the kindness that's in us is a reflection of the Spirit of God that's in us. And so we, of all God's people, of all people, should be kind one to another. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, notice over in Galatians chapter 5. Go back a few chapters to Galatians chapter 5. Let's just define kindness real quick. It's pretty simple to figure out. Y'all still awake? Okay, I'm going about as full speed as I can go, topped completely off with soup. All right, so should have left off that last bowl. Galatians 5. I didn't want to disappoint people because everybody made that. I did not want to be unkind and not eat it, not sample all of it. So Galatians 5, let's talk about a little bit what kindness is. In Galatians 5, we're familiar with this. This is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, are fruits of the Spirit. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And he goes on in verse 24 and says, we've crucified the flesh. So for those reasons, the fruits of the Spirit should be manifested in us. But here we have this list of the fruits of the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22, it's listed here, kindness is listed as gentleness. And it really means the same thing. Gentleness, kindness is the same thing. It's defined as this. It's defined as the quality of being warm-hearted toward others, considerate, humane, gentle, sympathetic, compassionate. It's the idea of kindness. You know, and if you're kind, you'll be considerate of the feeling of others. Isn't that true? That's what kindness is. Considerate, how your words hurt other people. You know, you're aware of that when you have kindness, when you're gentle toward others. That's the whole idea of kindness. Most important to notice, though, is that since kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, it's an evidence that we're saved. It's a manifestation of the Spirit within us. He should bring a kinder heart. Amen? And a kinder spirit when the Spirit of God dwells within us if we're saved. I can guarantee you this much, that the Holy Ghost isn't leading anyone to be mean to another person. The Holy Spirit isn't going to lead us to do that. He's not going to lead us to say mean things about somebody or uncaring things about somebody. The Holy Spirit of God's never going to lead to do that in such a way. He doesn't lead a young person to pick on someone in some way or some mean-spirited way or order people to do the same thing. That's not what he does within us. The Holy Spirit of God manifesting the Spirit because he is trying to form us into the image of Christ. Right. And can I say this? Christ was kind, Amen. Was he not? And he's working to transform us into that image. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have fun with each other. Listen, we like to joke and pick on each other. It doesn't mean we can't do that, all right? But there's a difference between that and meanness. Things said in meanness are meant to inflict a wound. That's the purpose of them, isn't it? We can laugh at each other. Guys especially like to laugh at each other and pick on each other. We can do that as long as what Mrs. Bloomer taught me in first grade, you know, and that as long as everybody knows it's fun and everybody's laughing, right, and I can take it as well as I give it. Amen. Say amen to that last one. Nothing greater than being around people who like to pick on other people but can't take it. Don't you love being around those kind of people? Right, so we can have fun with each other, but we know the difference, don't we?
Right.
Between that and meanness and just being mean to other people. And while kindness is produced by the Spirit in us, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that should, in some part, come as a result of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And I know this much, if we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, when we're not kind, he ought to convict us. Or as I say, he ought to eat our lunch when we're not kind to somebody else, if he's dwelling within us. We certainly should not be able to be mean to people without conviction. You know, if I'm mean to somebody when I walk away, the Spirit of God ought to be saying, what was that all about? You know, what were you doing? That's your brother in Christ. That's your sister in Christ. And so that should speak to us, certainly. But not only is it a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also something we have to work on. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, I wish it were this way, Brother Mason. I wish when I was indwelt by the Spirit, God just went, you got the fruits of the Spirit, and you can't deviate from that ever. You will just automatically be these things. But we understand that he is within us. He guides, he directs, he convicts. He helps us know what we should say. He helps us know what we shouldn't say. He convicts us when we don't choose wisely. But he doesn't make us say anything. And so for that reason, not only is kindness a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also something we have to work on and that we have to practice. Look over, if you will, into Ephesians, back over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it's something that we're supposed to make ourselves be. Ephesians 4, it says this in verse 32. Well, it looks in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and what? Evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye what? Kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So it's a fruit of the Spirit as the result of the Spirit of God dwelling with me. It's something that I should be prone to, but at the same time, it's something I have to work on because not only am I indwelt by the Spirit of God, which also wants to manifest kindness, but I've also got this tongue I've got to deal with, which is a fire ready to ignite problems. And so I've got to be constantly careful, but it's something I've got to work on. I've got to work on being mean, or not mean. I've got to work on being kind. I don't have to work on being mean. Freudian slip or something. I don't know. We got to work on, that's me. I have to work on being mean. Believe me, I'm like everybody else. I got to work at being kind. And it's something we have to work on. We got, you know, we're indwelt with the Spirit of God. It ought to try to manifest itself, but I have to consciously make an effort to be kind. Amen.
Right.
I don't have to say it. I don't have to join in on it. You know, I don't have to be involved in it. I need to make an effort to be kind to people. And it's one of those things that we need in our day. We know we sit around all the time thinking about how mean the culture is. But man, we ought to be manifesting kindness. And it's not that I think something's going on here that I bring the subject. I bring it up because I'm just shocked at how mean the whole world is today. And how mean the entire culture is today. And if it's out there, it could easily be in here. as well. And so we have to be careful of this, and we have to work on it. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. It's a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also something we have to work on. Colossians 3. In Ephesians, he says, be ye kind. That's a command. Do it. Be kind. Verse 12 of Colossians 3 says this, put on therefore. How many times have you read this? Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and what?
Kindness.
He says we're to put on kindness. We're to make an effort at being kind to other people. Now, this is important to remember that kindness is a work of the Spirit in a saved person, so it should flow out of us. Now, think about this with me. If kindness is a fruit of the Spirit that should flow out of us and should be one of the evidences that we're saved and because of the Spirit of God manifests himself in us, that means that kindness is not just a form of being polite in public. Can I say that again? Since it is a fruit of the Spirit, it shouldn't be something that is just a form of politeness in public. In other words, it ought to be evidenced at home. It ought to be evidenced in the home, to those in the home, and to those outside the home. In other words, I shouldn't be kind to you in public and be unkind to you in my home. To be kind to you in public and not kind to you in private. Because the fruit of the Spirit doesn't stop at my doorstep. Amen? It's not just for public use. It's something that it's to take place in the home and outside the home. A fruit is not dropped off, as I said, at the doorstep. Kindness isn't driven by whether or not the person can hear us. Kindness is driven by the Spirit of God that dwells in me, not just because someone's able to hear my words. Now, can I say this? I don't know anything, but I'm sure probably every one of us, and you don't have to raise your hand on this one. I'm sure every one of us, if we had to admit, would say, you know, I've been unkind to somebody in private. I'm kind to them in public, but I'm not as kind to them in public and private as I am in public. Fruit of the Spirit doesn't stop because they can't hear me. Fruit of the Spirit is to manifest itself in private and in public. Amen. We're to be kind one to another, no matter where we're. Kindness doesn't seem to matter much to people in the world anymore, but it certainly ought to matter to us if we want to have a Christ-like spirit. You know, when it begins, kindness begins with thoughtfulness, doesn't it? You have to think to be kind. You have to work at being kind. And it begins with thoughtfulness because to be kind, your mind has to be first and foremost on others, doesn't it? To be kind. Because listen, meanness is nothing more, or a lack of kindness is nothing more than a form of selfishness. It's what meanness is. I don't care how my words hurt you. I don't care what other people hear me say about you. I don't care. It just makes me feel better for some reason because I'm being mean to you. That's selfishness, isn't it? It's the height of selfishness. Self-gratification at the cost of someone else and being mean to them. And we should never be mean to other people. We should never be so selfish as to not care about our words and how they affect somebody else's heart. That's not what the Spirit of God leads us to do. He wants us to be kind, don't you think, to each other? Meanness is absolutely a form of selfishness because it's not thinking about the other person at all other than to be mean to them. Now notice this, and we'll head this thing to the barn. Look over in Mark chapter 10. If I gave you three guesses, who do you think would be the supreme example of kindness? Christ, got it first time. Good job. We don't need the other. Won't need the other two. Mark chapter 10. We can look at example after example of our Savior's kindness. And let me tell you something. You better be glad he's kind. The worst thing on earth is to have some mean person know everything about you. And he knows everything about you. Right. Just imagine if he were mean, what that would be like. I'm thankful he's kind. And here's the weird thing. He's kind even though he knows everything about you. He is still kind. Mark chapter 10, familiar story. We're not going to delve into this other than just use it for an example. But in Mark 10, look in verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I imagine he must have been quite a sight, don't you think, begging in that day? He said, this, it goes on in verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And of course, here we see the public's response. And many charged him that he should what? Be quiet. Just be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And he casteth away his garments and rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, notice what he says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You know, think about the story. These are real people. Here we have blind Bartimaeus sitting there. I want you to notice it says that when he went to Jesus, he cast off his clothes. You know why those were cast off? Because he was probably wearing rags, filthy, dirty rags. He's begging alongside of the road. This is a man who had absolutely been the target of meanness, don't you think? It's been the people target. This would have been someone targeted, making fun of him, mocking him, laughing at his clothes, laughing at the way he looks, making fun of him. Certainly would have been. You can imagine how cruel the kids in the community must have been as they went by and seen blind Bartimaeus sitting there, what they must have said about him. And then, of course, when Jesus comes along, he tries to be heard by Jesus. And what do the people say? What do the grown people say? Shut up. Be quiet. Just get out of the way. Be kindness. Be quiet. Don't bother the Savior. And so I'm sure this man was no stranger to mean words and treatment being made fun of. But I want you to notice that when he called out to Jesus, the Lord didn't consider him a nuisance, did he? He didn't care about his filthy clothes. He didn't consider him a nuisance. He didn't make fun of him. I like what Jesus did. When he called out to Jesus, Jesus looked at him in his filthy clothes after being the target of mocking and being made fun of and all the things. And what does Jesus say to him? What can I do for you? Yes. How can I help you? Aren't you glad when you got saved? Because listen, you were just as filthy as he was. Amen. Only in your sin, not in your clothing. We were filthy beggars sitting alongside the road, and we cried out to him, and aren't you glad that Jesus said, what can I do for you? That's kindness. Absolutely, it's kindness on display. Then in kindness and mercy, he had compassion on him, and he helped him. Now, I understand this afternoon, I don't want to take time for this, I'll just say this, we have to be kind wisely, all right? You can't just give money to every beggar in some act of kindness. We have to be wise in how we do it, but you understand that. We're just talking about being kind to one another. We're to emulate him. You know, after all, since the Holy Spirit works within us to produce fruit, we are supposed to be people who have a far greater capability for kindness than the world does. And I know one thing's for sure. I'm glad that God is a God of kindness. And I'm glad he's kind to me. I'm taken constantly with how kind he is to me. You know, there's a lot of problems with this idea that God just loves you and everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about your sin. God doesn't care about that. There's a lot of downsides to that. One, you'll end up lost if you practice that, more than likely. But one of the downsides, too, is it really robs us of the opportunity to see just how kind God is. I'm glad that though God knows what a mess I am, he's kind to me. Amen. And so he's a God of kindness, and I'm glad he's kind to you, but I'm more glad he's kind to me. I'm glad he's kind. You know, we know what his supreme act of kindness was. Right. His supreme act of kindness was providing a way for me and you to be saved. Right. To actually live with him. Can you imagine that? To actually live with him. Titus chapter 3, the supreme act of kindness was in the Savior providing a way that we might be saved so we could actually live with him. Titus chapter 3, that's exactly what we're told in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, listen, we were just as filthy as Bartimaeus. In Titus 3, verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, and deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You know, I'm thankful for his grace. I'm thankful for his mercy. But one of the things we don't oftentimes think about when it comes to salvation, we think of grace all the time and mercy all the time. One of the things we don't think of is what a sheer, utter act of kindness it was. That he was compassionate and warm-hearted toward us and gentle toward us, and that he provided a Savior, an opportunity for us to be saved. Now, we don't want to mistake the fact that he is also one day going to be judged. And if we don't respond to his kindness, then we're certainly going to have to stand before him one day. But I'm thankful that God is just kind to us, kind toward us. And he certainly evidenced that when we got saved, because the only reason any of us are saved is because of the kindness of God. Look over in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, we're almost done. Romans 2. Notice what it says in verse 4 of Romans 2. 2:4. Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness, the word goodness is the same word as the word kindness. It means the same thing. He says, nor that longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It was in kindness that God reached out to us, convicted us of sin in an effort to draw him unto him, draw us unto himself. He was so kind toward you and I, he drew us to himself. And that was the result of the kind. You know, when I was under conviction before I got saved, it didn't feel like kindness. Right? It felt like he was wearing me completely out. Then after I got saved, I realized even though I was lost and a mess and in sin, yet in kindness, he drew me to repentance. He drew me to himself. Again, that's the wonderful kindness of God. And how can we receive kindness? You know, when we think about how kindness, how could we receive kindness at the hand of God and yet be mean to someone else? Makes no sense, does it? How can I be mean to somebody when God has been so kind to me? You with me? You're quiet. I don't know if you're thinking, sleeping, or digesting. But God expresses his kindness in a whole lot of ways. And I don't need to give you verses for all these. You don't know all of them, all right, on a Sunday afternoon. He expresses kindness in a host of ways. Like I said, first of all, he pardons us from our sin. And though there's, even though there's nothing we can do to gain forgiveness, he pardons us. That's kindness. I'm thankful he delivered me out of hell, but he pardoned me. That's the act of kindness. He provides for our needs, as we talked about this morning. Having saved us, he now meets our emotional needs, our physical needs, our material needs, our spiritual needs. As I said, if he just saved me, that would have been enough. Man, if I just didn't have to go to hell, that would have been a lot right there. But yet he's still kind to me and he meets our needs, cares about us. You don't think he hears your prayers just because you're such an amazing person, do you? He hears us because he's kind. In times of danger, he protects us. That's the kindness of God. Most of us are a little bit older, or maybe some of you younger. We could tell stories where God has protected us in some obvious way, whether it be in some near accident or some other thing where God has absolutely protected us and we didn't see him, but it was obvious God has protected us. Well, wait till you get to heaven and find out all the things God intervened in that you didn't even see or know about. That's the kindness of God, that he cares about us in times of dangers. He intervenes for us. Every answered prayer, listen, every single answered prayer is an act of kindness.
Right.
He doesn't have to hear us or listen to us. But every single act of prayer, every time he hears our prayer, that's an act of kindness. I mean, when's the last time you just thank God for just being kind? For just being a kind God. You know, we have the only, there's only one God, but it's little g. We have the only kind God. When you look at the idolatry and all the false gods, they're mean. We have a kind God. Big G. When he reached down to save us, he not only forgave us, but he gave us an eternal, he gave us eternal life. The joy that comes with that. He is so kind to us, he not only saved us, but he's going to let us live with him. Now that's kind.
Amen.
Going to give us a home in heaven, living with him. He cares for us until we take our last breath.
Amen.
He cares for us and is kind toward us. He's personally involved in our lives. Lord didn't only save us, but he sent his spirit to live within us. He's personally involved in every aspect of our life. That's the kindness of God. We have the promise of Hebrews 13:5 that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's the kindness of God. He'll never leave me. And there's so many more kindnesses we could go into. Just how could you exhaust the kindness of God toward us? But they remind us that we are to be a reflection of that. As I have received kindness from God, we should reflect kindness. I don't care whether you're 37 or 7, we should reflect kindness. in our life because God has been so kind to us. If you're a young person here today, you ought to be kind. You may not yet grasp all this stuff about you haven't been out in sin, been so wicked and done all the stuff people talk about, but God's put you in a godly home, giving you good parents, care about you. How should you ever go out and be mean to somebody else? Those of us who are older, our Heavenly Father's been so kind to us. We should reflect kindness to other people, be kind to those who are around us. He's never going to leave us, forsake us, and we should never be kind, unkind to someone else. We ought to reflect that treatment. Two verses and we're done. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We ought to strive to be kind. I should have come up with a catchy phrase instead of that, but we ought to strive to be kind to other people. It's what God wants us to do. It's what God's demonstrated to us. And again, whether we're old or young, listen, I remember what it was like to be young, I think. It's been a while ago, but I remember it. I remember how mean young people can be to one another. It seems like young people go through a phase, don't they? Where like all of a sudden this meanness phase switch kicks on. And it's part of growing up, but it shouldn't be among God's people. We ought to rein that in and be kind. Of course, those of us who are older, we ought to strive to be kind as well. It doesn't look any better on us. Matter of fact, it should look worse on us. But we ought to strive to be kind. Proverbs 3, verse 3, let not mercy, Proverbs 3, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy would be basically kindness, a form of kindness. Let not mercy or truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou hast found favor and good understanding in the sight of God and who? Forsake not mercy and truth. Be truthful, be kind. Be merciful. And you win favor with God, but also with who? You want people to like you? Be kind. Tell the truth and be kind. Look over in Zechariah, last verse. We should always be aware of our treatment of others. We always question if we're being kind. And we're all prone to not being kind. There's not a person in this room who hasn't said something unkind. Sometimes we get tired, we get irritated, frustrated. Sometimes our relationship with God's not what it should be. That's when we really become unkind. But we ought to always be concerned about being kind and question whether what we're doing is kind or not. Always be aware of our treatment of others. In Zechariah chapter 7, Zechariah 7 says this in verse 9, and we're done. Zechariah 7, verse 9. Well, let's go to verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. He says, and oppress not the widow, nor the faithless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother, where? In your heart. He says we ought to practice compassion and kindness and mercy toward one another. We ought to be a kind people. You know, it's easy to be mean. You don't even have to work at it. You know why? Because it flows out of our old sinful heart. And so for that reason, it's easy to be mean. It's easy to be short. It's easy to be mean-spirited. It's easy to say nasty things about people. It's easy to want to hear it because that's part of our nature as a sinner. So it's easy to be mean. It flows out of us. But if we're saved, we have the Spirit within us who's always kind. And if we'll yield to Him, and if we'll listen to that still small voice, He will produce the fruit of kindness in us. I've never said a mean thing to somebody that I didn't walk away in the Spirit of God and go, what was that about? Right. I've also had times when my inside voice, the Spirit of God said, that shouldn't go outside. And you need to get that right. Right? Just because you didn't say it doesn't make it right. And so the Spirit of God wants to lead us. He wants to produce fruit, but we still have to make the effort. We still have to think of our treatment of other people. So I just said this to say this. We're inundated with meanness. And one of my fears is that sometimes that creeps into our heart because we're just around it constantly. And it's just everywhere. And so young people, be kind to each other. Amen? Be kind to one another. If you haven't been, then you need to get that right. You need to go to some other young person. If you've been mean to another young person, you need to go to them after church and get that right. And say, I'm sorry I was mean to you. And the same thing's true when it comes to an adult as well. And mom and dad, we need to be kind and never say things in front of our children that gives them the impression that they can be mean to another young person because of something we heard them say about somebody's parents. We've got to be kind to people and strive to be kind. How can we see how kind God is to us and then be mean to somebody else? I could have saved all this and just said this would be pulling carpet now. Strive to be kind, amen, to one another, because that's what God would have us to be. Let's not let the world affect how we behave. Let's not let their mean spirit affect our spirit and our attitude. We just need to be kind to each other, amen? And because we have been the recipient of such kindness, which we can never repay, how can I then take that kindness from God and repay it with meanness to somebody else? Just be kind. Right. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would?